again, good morning, everyone. This is Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, formerly Star of the Beast Network. Liberty Talk Radio is your independent streaming internet radio station and libertarian voice, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday, December 7th, 2006. It's around 6:32 a.m. Central Standard Time in the good old USA. It is being sponsored by Ranch Acres Audiology in Tulsa. Call 918-749-7711 for all your hearing needs. Ranch Acres Audiology, where hearing is fashionable. We also dedicate our broadcast to the Peace House Tulsa, a nonprofit organization promoting peace through education and nonviolent action. Please go to their website at peacehousetulsa.org and please support that wonderful organization. This station is your antidote to popular talk radio. Regardless of political affiliation, where you are expected to do more than listen, you are expected to think. Although we broadcast from the United States, libertarian principles of individual freedom and responsibility are universal and apply to your area of residence, be it New York, Bangkok, Berlin, Rome, Paris, or Stalingrad. Folks, we must take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. It's time to shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought and dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what government is doing to our freedom will we start taking it back. Let us be patriots once again, instead of subservient citizens. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. That's my standard introduction, which I love giving. The song is And I Wonder. Again, one of my favorite songs, because I wonder why we tolerate such a tyrannical government that we have today. And we believe all of the gobbledygook that they feed us and much of the popular media today, the broadcast media, whether it be print, whether it be radio or television, or even sometimes on the internet, just feeds us information that has nothing to do with the truth, is not based on historical fact. And this is something that we should resist, and we should start listening to programs like Liberty Talk Radio, and there are others. Please make yourself avail yourself to these channels of information and find out what really is going on. Yes, it will require that you think, and we want people to start thinking. You know, there's an old adage that governments love an ignorant populace, because then they can manipulate them. Now, they manipulate them not in the way that we probably think, but they manipulate them by telling them what they are doing for them and how they are protecting them and all the things that government is doing for them and how fortunate they are. And we swallow all of that today. It is very, very disconcerting. Right. I'd like to mention that today's live broadcast, you can reach me via Skype, internet phone. Just dial Starve the Beast, one word, Starve the Beast, lowercase, and it'll ring directly to my studio. Also, you can reach us by actual telephone now. It's area code 918-447-1776. That's 918-447-1776, and an operator will take your question, and I will answer it on the air if we have time, if it's not too late. And in addition, you can go to AOL Instant Messenger and on STB Internet Radio at AIM.com, or you can send us your email. And this you can do anytime, either during the broadcast or afterwards, because we will broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days, rebroadcast rather, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And send us your email to comments at libertytalkradio.com. That's comments, that's plural, C-O-M-M-E-N-T-S, at libertytalkradio.com. Okay? And that's all for the introduction for today. I am going to break a one of my cardinal rules today and mention a commercial establishment that I think is worth talking about. Being a business owner and a radio talk show host, I am very sensitive to the business atmosphere, to customer service, to the actual drumbeat of business, if you will. And the other day, I walked into a restaurant. I had only frequented this restaurant once before, and it's called Moe's Southwest Grill, and it's at 7945 South Memorial here in Tulsa. And the reason why I mention it is I spoke to the franchisee. His name is Troy. Very, very, very nice fellow. And they have a very unique style of engaging with their audience. And this is what I love to see in any business enterprise. Here you have the employees welcoming you in the most unusual manner. And I won't tell you how they do that. You really should go to Moe's and experience that yourself. It's a real kick. You'll really, really enjoy that. And not only that, but not the manager, but the franchisee himself goes around talking to everyone in the restaurant, asking how things are going, and will sit down with you and actually ask for your comments. He's a very engaging person, and I really enjoyed going to the restaurant, not only for the good food, but for the exchange of ideas. And I actually felt like I actually belonged. Let me give you an example of some things that they do that some restaurants do, but many do not. I think my bill came to like $7.03. I gave the cashier $10. I received $3 in exchange. In other words, I did not get 97 cents in change. Now, how often do we go somewhere and wind up with a pocket full of change, many pennies, nickels and dimes, and we have to carry that with us all day long? And then we come home and we put it somewhere and we accumulate all of these coins that we don't get rid of. I think the little things that they did was just so smart and so customer focused. And if you're ever hungry and you're in Tulsa, I would suggest you go to Moe's. And now, again, he's not paying me for this commercial. I'm just telling you that because I was that impressed. And when I spoke with him, I said, I am going to mention your restaurant on the air. I'm going to break one of my tenets of no commercialism. But since I'm not getting paid, it's not really commercial. So go to Moe's at 79th. It's on the east side of Memorial. You will be glad that you did. Okay, now on to today's broadcast. I'd like to start with a couple of quips, if I can find them. You know, I have a staff of 20 people here. Unfortunately, they never show up, so I have to do everything myself. Here it is. This is from the ICH. And if I can remember, the Information Clearinghouse, and I really encourage you to go there. The Information Clearinghouse just Google them, and you can find them very, very easily. They have some very, very interesting information. Basically, they say that this is the news that you do not find on CNN, and they're very, very right. And I just want to read you just two small items here. It says, a centralized democracy may be as tyrannical as an absolute monarchy. And that is true. You know, we think because we have a democracy that we're free, we are immune from any sort of dictatorial type of political structure, and that's not true. It says, and if the vigor of the nation is to continue unimpaired, each individual, each family, each district must preserve as far as possible their independence, its self-completeness, its powers, and its privilege to manage its own affairs. Listen to that. To manage its own affairs. Now, how often do you hear politicians today, when they are giving a stump speech, talking about personal responsibility and managing your own affairs? But what they're saying that We want to strip the government of its role, of its paternal or maternal role, and we're asking people to be responsible to themselves. Now, government doesn't want that because they can't manipulate you, they can't tax you, they can't convince you that what they are doing is for you if they ask you to be responsible. It is necessary in this society that we're convinced that being subservient to the government is actually being free. Now, that is got to be at least one of the definitions of pure insanity. But this is the way we think today. We've evolved into that. It goes on by saying, to manage one's own affair and to think its own thoughts. Now, where do we get our thoughts today? Well, we turn on the TV and we listen to the news. And I want everyone out there, all of my listeners, to do me a favor. And if you can, give me some comments someday when you have a chance. And listen to the news. And keep a mental note or even a pencil note of the items that they're discussing. And categorize them in two categories. Let's say three. Is this really news? Or is this just a rehash of what they said for the past 45 days? Right? Or is it news? Is it valid news just from your opinion? Or is it a public interest thing? Public interest announcement like, Mrs. Mausner's dog died yesterday of a horrible death. He walked in front of a truck or something like that. You know, is it public interest? I find that a good portion of our news today is public interest. It has nothing to do with news. It doesn't talk about what's really going on. But then they rehash the same item over and over again. If they talk about Iraq, they just talk more about Iraq. But they never come to any core historical information which would allow us to become more intelligent, a more intelligent populace from which we can make a decision. And this is one thing the government does not want us to be. They do not want us to be intelligent, and heavens forbid that we actually become critical thinkers. That's the big no-no. I mean, that's the downfall of any tyrannical government. We must realize that. Here's another one. This is a quick one. It says, democracy must be something more than two wolves and a sheep's voting to decide what to have for dinner. And that was by James Bovard, 1994, Lost Rights, The Destruction of American Liberty. Oh, and the other one was by James Anthony, and someone cut off the last name. It's F-R-O, and I'm sorry, 1818 to 1894, author and historian. He's an author and historian, and I don't know who that person is. I'm sorry, I can't give proper credit to it. I want to just finish up the programs that we've had, the discussions that we've had regarding the minimum wage issue. This really burns me up. I just cannot let loose of this thing. Now, I know my regular listeners must be thinking, okay, Cristiano, enough of the minimum wage. I can't stand it anymore. If you don't let go of the minimum wage issue, I'm going to listen to somebody else, and I wouldn't blame you because that's the way I feel. It really bothers me that, again, we do not have a thinking populace, and as a result, what we do is that we do all those things that make it that sound good. That's the way we think. If it sounds good, it must be good. Folks, please absorb one thing and carry this around with you. In life, if it sounds good, run the other way. And I want to give you an example, and I think a very profound statement. And this is a statement my wife made several years ago, and I may have said this once before. But we were listening to watching television. there was an announcement that the ACLU had taken a position. I honestly do not recall what it was, what the situation was. They took a position that was extremely unpopular. It just sounded horrible. And my wife sat there, and she said, I hate to hear any decision that the ACLU makes. She says, it always upsets me. They never make a decision that makes me feel good. She says, I just dislike every decision they make. She paused for a second, and then she says, but they're typically correct. And I stood there and I said, that is one of the most profound things. In fact, I called the ACLU in Washington and I had to tell them, I said, this, my wife said this. I said, because this is the way people are perceiving the ACLU as a left-wing radical organization, when in fact the ACLU is a right side of the right-wing organization, incredibly conservative organization. But again, we've been taught that they're left-wing. How could an organization be left-wing when it protects people using the rights provided in our Constitution? It's not possible. Left-wing means screw the Constitution. We'll just do something else. In other words, it breaks the rule of law. We don't give a damn, you know. The ACLU is right of right. It is not left of left. Now, how many people read the briefs regarding the decision that the ACLU makes? Nobody, except for a few people who are involved in that case, maybe some attorneys, maybe some activists, and that's it. But you will never hear anyone talk about the logic or the reason behind the ACLU decision. They may summarize it, but never sounds good. Okay, ACLU is not left. If you are a neoconservative, you should be in bed with the ACLU. Okay, now, enough of ranting on that. The politicians want us to be nice and stupid. You know, they love stupid people. They smile at us. You know, they always have the right haircut, you know, salt and pepper hair, always have the right tie. They say the right things. And now this new Democrat, Obama, I listened to him the other day, and I'll be honest with you, super guy, good-looking guy, I mean, great speaker, said absolutely nothing. And he will get elected saying absolutely nothing, but it will sound good. All right, let's finish up on the minimum wage. The USA Today. Now, this is not ancient history. This is December 5th, 2006, Tuesday. I'm sitting at a restaurant having a salad with a friend of mine. Crazy friend of mine, I'll be honest with you. He's a fun guy. And someone had an extra copy of the USA Today, and I just was waiting for my salad to come. And bingo, headline, wanted factory workers. I'm not going to read the article to you. It was quite lengthy. Basically, it says that manufacturers are rejecting orders because they cannot find people to work. They are willing to pay premium prices, premium pay. They are willing to train. They are willing to do whatever is transfer people. They are willing to do anything to get people to work in the factories. This one major manufacturer said up to 30% of their orders are lost because they have no one to do the work. Now, what does that have to do with minimum wage? Well, I'm sure, I am positive, these people are not paying $5.15 an hour. In fact, I'm with my industrial health testing company. I used to be in factories all the time. And I'll be honest with you, some of those guys, I'm talking about factory workers, were making more than me. I mean, when I heard some of the salaries that these guys make, and we're not talking highly, highly skilled, some a craftsman's job like welding and whatever, these were not, you know, these were guys were not physicists. These guys that were not computer, you know, savvy or anything like that. They just had a craft. Some of them just learned the craft on the job. Many of them, I mean, minimally they'd make $11 an hour, minimally. Many were making $15, $20, $25, $35, $45 an hour. So we have factories who are clamoring for employees. We won't work there. Why? Because we as Americans don't want to get our hands dirty. You know, we're above that. So we want to get a job starting, making good pay in a clean, pristine glass tower somewhere, you know, with all sorts of benefits and make all sorts of high-level decisions with no information in our brains, with no experience, with no education, but that's what we want. And if we can't, we'll walk the streets. So the minimum wage issue becomes an immigration issue. Ha-ha, we're back to immigration. We had a three-part series on immigration. Why do we have illegal immigrants coming in? We have illegal immigrants coming in because in the quota from the Latino nations is 65,000 people. We fill that in one day. Everybody else is illegal. Factories are crying for people. You know, that's the solution, people coming up their work. These people work and work hard and work at jobs that, ladies and gentlemen, you and I would not think of doing. So we can be competitive in the marketplace, but now we reclassify these illegal aliens who are doing the United States a tremendous favor, felons. I think I am going absolutely stark raving mad because nothing makes any sense to me anymore. Now, one reason why the people from Mexico or Costa Rica or Nicaragua or Panama travel all the way up through the Central American countries, through Mexico, and then risk their lives through the deserts of Texas and pay someone to transport them, and it's their last dime that they give them. Many die en route. It's because they can work at a job making $10 and $15 an hour where they can only make 25 or 50 cents an hour where they are. You see how if we want to reduce the amount of illegal immigration, get rid of the minimum wage. People come up here and say, yeah, okay, Jose, 50 cents an hour. Jose would say, screw you. I can get 50 cents an hour in Mexico. Goodbye. Right? Bingo. You reduced illegal immigration. I'm not suggesting that we do that. And we wouldn't do that. But you see how one government program which restricts our freedom affects another program which fouls up that program. It just never ends. There's no solution because you'll have to unravel all of these programs and regulations. You can't do it. It's almost as if we have to wipe the slate clean and get back to a free marketplace. The minimum wage denies people their liberty. Look at it that way. It reduces employment. It affects the young. Now, here's a statistic for you. I'm going to give you a couple of statistics, and then I'm going to end this issue, although I'd like to speak about it for another two or three sessions. This is from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. This is your government speaking. Over 90% of the people who earn the minimum wage in 1 year, within that year, are no longer making the minimum wage. So what are we saying? All the minimum wage is an entry level to get a job so you can be trained on the job and then become more valuable. If someone came to me, now I don't need anyone in my company right now, but if someone came to me and said, Mr. Cristiano, what I'd like to do is I'd like to work for you for 6 months. I don't care if you pay me, but I want you to train me. This is what I'd like to know. I'd like to become a technician. I'd like to know this, and I'd like the certification, but I'd like for you to pay for all those certifications. In other words, I'd like for you to pay for my education for, let's say, 3 months. And I'll work for whatever. Whatever the profits are, whatever you can afford, you pay me. If it's $1 an hour, fine. If it's $5 an hour, fine. If it's $10, fine. Whatever you want to pay me, it's fine. I would hire that person in a New York minute, and I would expand my business. Because what happens is, but the risk is very low. I have someone who is really willing. Not someone's coming in and say, well, I'll work for you, but how much am I going to get paid on Friday? Can I leave early? You know, all that stuff. I know this person has a desire to learn. I would hire that person in a New York minute, and I would expand my business, and I would sleep better at night. Now, how much would that person be making? I'm talking within 6 months or a year, minimally $15 an hour. So where's the minimum wage come in? Of what good is it? Now, listen, if you had a company and you had entry-level people making $7 an hour, I'm just talking entry-level, $7 an hour, they're just doing clerical work, some of the students, part-timers, and whatever. Now they change the minimum wage to $7.50. Well, first of all, you got to give everyone a raise to $7.50. But what happens to the person making $8 an hour? They go, hey, wait a minute. Everyone was making $5 an hour, or $5.15, and I was making $8. Now they're making $7.50, and I'm making $8. That's not fair, and they're absolutely correct. So I have to adjust everyone's salary up. Now, my overall salary has increased quite significantly. Now what do I do? Folks, I don't pay my employee salary. I never pay them a dime. My customers do. I have to pass that on to our customers. And when I pass it on to my customers, they pass it on to their customers. And then there's a decision somewhere. There's an end game to that, right? And that's called competition. And we lose out in the marketplace. We have fewer people entering jobs, fewer people training, jobs not getting done, like in manufacturing, right? And becoming uncompetitive because we have to raise the price because no one's going to work. And then we want to know why jobs are going overseas. Now, I think this whole, it's absolutely stupid and insane. And every time I see these politicians who know better, these people have jurisprudence degrees, which means like a doctorate degree in law. I mean, you can't be really a babbling idiot and get a degree like that. I'll be honest with you. I could not pass those. I could not do it. I'm not smart enough. Here he is, Joe Dummy here. I'm talking logic, and these people are talking idiocy, and they're a lot smarter than I am. What does that tell you? They know better. They want you to buy exactly what they're saying. And they want you to remain ignorant because heavens forbids that you say, wait a minute, that doesn't make any damn sense at all. Then they've got a problem, but they want it to sound good. And they also talk about poverty. Poverty, my foot. Do you know the people who we claim are in poverty in the United States are considered living well every place else in the world? And I got to give you a couple of things, then we'll get off the air. Right? Here it is. 37.2% of the people making minimum wage are between the ages of 16 and 19. And that just shows that these are all entry-level people. Let's see. I had something here on the on poverty and how and the definition of poverty, which was kind of neat. Of course, but I cannot find it. But it had indicated that you know, people who are in poverty have color TV sets. About a third of the people actually own their homes, but they're considered in poverty, you know, or they have more than one TV set, color TV set. And the list went on and on. And when you read the list, you say these people may not have much money, but they cannot be considered impoverished. It's the definitions that the politicians use so that we can do what they want us to do. The minimum wage goes up. They collect more taxes. They can spend more. Everyone's happy except for us. Or we think we're happy. They want us to really think that we are happy. And we are not. Anyway, our time is up again. I ranted today, which I always enjoy doing. It just seems like it's such a long time between regular broadcasts because on Sundays, I typically have a person come in tonight that I interview. I'm trying to establish someone, not established, but I have a couple requests out for this Sunday. If not, we'll talk about another subject on Sunday evening. Our next broadcast, live broadcast, will be Sunday at 8:30 p.m. For about a half hour. And then that will be rebroadcasted 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all the way through Thursday morning. And Thursday morning, like 1 week from today, we'll be on the air live again for a half hour between 6:30 and 7. So, okay, well, I want to thank you very much. I don't think we received any calls this morning, surprising. And what I'm going to do now is play our bumper song.
There it is.
And that's our theme song. And I wonder. Remember, go to Moe's. You'll love it. Oh, by the way, get the full Monty. It's great. And the cute names that they give everything. But it was really great. I had a full Monty plate. Very inexpensive. The food was fabulous. All freshly cooked. Okay. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends. And don't forget to send your comments to comments@libertytalkradio.com. And until next time, stay well and stay tuned. Oh,